This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Dylon, that's a new one. Yeah, that a boy. You have been tasked with mixing it up, and I got to say, it's been pretty good so far this week. So hats off to you, my friend. It's the morning shift. Mike, Allie, Squidbilly, Dylon hanging out with you here on this Thursday morning, having a lot of fun. We got wake-up call 404-726-0929. What did you think about the fine for Ulbrich? What did you think about the fine for the Atlanta Falcons? Did they both deserve it? Also, card games that you like to play. My wife, I put both kids asleep last night. My wife left the house. She went to play Mahjong. I have no idea how to play that.
I'm going to have to learn.
She said she almost won. She like hit me up. She's like, I almost won. I was like, well, I don't even know what that means. But like, do you think she's playing for money?
Maybe. I don't know. Is that a betting game or not?
Housewives of the neighborhood? I don't know.
She might put a little 20 on it. Maybe a little 20.
A little 20. There's no way she's putting 20. Putting 20 out. And I don't know how many people play Mahjong, but I know there's been groups of like four or five. So, yeah, $100 game. Like, I'd be in for that. I mean, like, you know, definitely when I play cards, it's for money. Like, you know, I'm not going out there just, hey, man, that was really cool. Like, no, nah, man. I need to get the zeros lined up.
Okay, a quick Google just told me, yes, you can gamble with Mahjong.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, like, it just, you know, winner gets the pot or whatever. And, spades, you team up 2v2. Like, I don't know if it's, like, everybody for themselves in Mahjong. Or is there, like, a minimum? I don't know. I doubt you can play 1v1 in Mahjong. But I have no idea how to play it. Anyways, man, a lot of people getting in on the socials. Appreciate it. Canasta has been brought up. I don't know how to play Canasta.
Heard
but
of it.
I know a lot of people that think that's a cool game. I'm spades, tonk. Dylon brought up euchre. So what was the one you said your northern people taught
hand
you?
And foot. Hand and foot.
Hand and foot. Yeah. Sounds like.
That's a really fun one, too.
Sounds euchre. Like something I had to take my son to the pediatrician for not too long ago, man.
So. Love euchre. You can play double deck euchre as well.
Double deck euchre. Okay. Now you're just getting out of hand.
Yeah,
that's now it. You're just getting. But I don't know. I know that you play a lot of games with your neighborhood crew. You got a good neighborhood crew, but I don't ever remember you talking about playing cards with anybody.
We play all the time. You just don't ask.
Okay.
We play those stuff like Phase 10 and we play Rummy and that kind of stuff. I don't play games that sound like diseases.
you brought up Phase 10 a minute ago. And that's the one where you have to buy it. Like it's like a deck of cards that they give
you. Yeah, it's kind of like an Uno deck, but it's called a Phase 10 deck. It's a lot of fun. It's very competitive. But it's all these games kind of have the same premise of, you know, like in Spades, you're getting books. You know, you get books and... And you know, in Phase 10, you go through phases that you have to get, and if you don't get there, you have a round or a hand, and still be stuck on round two while somebody else is on like round six. So, you can skip people, you can do all those things. It's fun. It's competitive. We played a lot of it during COVID. A lot.
Is the standard card game that everybody knows the universal card game War? Does everybody know how to play War?
Yeah, very simple.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say Crazy 8.
I haven't played
eight.
That in years.
Right.
I was going to say Crazy 8.
I don't think I've ever played War.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Rummy is the standard one that everyone knows how to play.
Wait. False. No. Go back to Go Fish. Okay.
Oh, Go Fish. Yeah. It's
okay,
got to be Go Fish.
I couldn't tell you how to play Rummy just off the top of my head. Somebody would have to be like, hey, remember it? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember.
I feel like Spades got to be up there too, right?
Yeah,
no. You would be surprised how many people do not know how to play Spades.
I do remember, God bless Tiffany Blackman, she was terrified she was going to get outed for not knowing how to play Spades on here.
Oh, that's true.
It's going to be rough. Abe, the knower of all, Abe Gordon, just finally texted me. He said, Mahjong is 100% played for small money.
Okay.
So there you go. Anyways, man, let's...
So let me get this right. Let me get this straight.
Okay.
You're at home washing babies, putting them to bed, and the wife's out gambling. That sounds like a backwards marriage right there. I tell you what.
I know it's
2025 and everything, but damn.
You got to rewind to the fact that I am never home to get my kids to daycare, ever.
Right.
Like, literally, ever. She does it
every single
morning. Yeah,
but you're working. She's out gambling at night, living the nightlife.
Yeah, she is.
Boy, I give Lindsay some credit.
running the streets with her and her hoodlums.
Boy, Lindsay owns you, dude.
Running the hoodlums. Hey, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go ahead and hit. Let's talk to our buddy Larry in the truck. Larry, something tells me that you're coming in with an Allie's army already. Like I already feel it coming, brother.
I love that thing you brought up about the Mac attack. I thought that was the Mac pack.
I love that.
So I thought that that was, and I got a story with that one, because every time that your husband called in on the afternoon show with Andy and Randy, mm-hmm. he said, G-Mac! And so then I was like, I'm going to call in and say, Amen!
I know, he's trying to steal my nickname over there.
I love it.
So as far as the coaching thing, I really don't want to comment on that, but I think it's way overblown. And the other thing, Bidwist, is kind of like spades on steroids, where anything can be trumped, and you have to bid on it. And then the last thing I got to do is I got to ask Big Papa Bo if he will allow Dylon to just play a few little snippets of the Dazz Band and Let It Whip. Just a few little snippets. Bo, please, can I, Bo?
Listen, he can't control the music, Larry, but he can talk trash afterwards. Yeah.
Larry, here's what I do for you. Once a week, we'll play Chicago. Once a week, but we ain't doing it all the time. We need upbeat stuff. Chicago's just too
laid
slow.
Back.
I mean, they're too soft, right?
It's relaxing.
They're too There's a certain radio station that, I don't know if they're around anymore, that used to play that kind of stuff, and it ain't my thing.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Larry. He's always so fun. He took 6 months off because he had a broken wrist, so he wasn't driving his truck for a while. Now Larry's back in the fold, so happy to have him back on the lines. Hey, Dylon, let's head back out. Let's go to our buddy Ken out on 285. Ken, what's the traffic like today, bro?
Right now, it is full bar. Let me say, this is my first time calling. I've been listening to y'all, and I said, well, when am I going to get the cojones to call you as I get off of work from working at night? So they finally got big, because the comment about what should happen with the coach, the coach's son should be scrubbing buckets and be the water boy. You're going to have to pay that money back, boy. That's $350,000. I just got the job, son. Oh, God, I just got the job. You told me $350,000.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You're 21. It's a joke. I get it. You know, we can't be too big a stick in the mud. But, you know, I'm at home. I should be able to trust that. You know a little bit better. Hey, we're not going to go to daddy's buddy to sit there and make a quick joke. And then, oh, by the way, that's going to happen? Come on, man.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't know. Like, I'm okay with the Jeff Ulbrich fine. The Falcons fine's a little steep for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, dude, first of all, he's been here before, but he just got back. Like, I don't know. And I know, Bo, you brought it up earlier about how it wasn't exactly from the Falcons to Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, no, it was from the NFL. NFL sent the document. It wasn't from the team.
Right.
And that's the problem for me of why the team got fined. The NFL is kind of – I think they're covering their self right here with this, and they know the team's not going to push back because the team just wants it to go away.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of get away with it. It's kind of ridiculous. And if they – and I do believe what you said earlier, had it been anything more – then they would have come out. But the people that are like, well, is this a slap on the wrist? What are you talking about? $250,000 an organization got fined. A head coach got fined. A defensive coordinator got fined $100,000, and he's probably making one point something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get real. I don't know what you think a slap on the wrist is, but it's just getting a little bit ridiculous. And it's also irritating to me that no one has wanted any other investigation for any other rookie pick that got prank called.
I think they're happening. I don't think we've seen the end of this.
I haven't heard of it. I mean, hopefully. I hope you're right.
Yeah, I read that, you know, they're looking into it. And look, I mean, that's kind of what we heard about Jax Ulbrich before that one came out. And you know what's funny? The NFL set themselves up. We talked about the NFL making an example of the Atlanta Falcons. What happens? I'm just telling you. What happens when an assistant coach from one of their blue bloods, you know, from the Cowboys or the Eagles, and that comes out that it might have come from their database, and might even not have been a family member, Maybe it was just somebody else that, you know, just happened to be around. It was like, oh, here's phone numbers. That's cool. And they found him out. So we'll see what happens and what all comes from that. Hey, let's go to the phone lines once more. Let's go out to JR. JR is out in his truck, just like Larry is. JR, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, morning, morning. First things first, welcome, Allie Mack.
Thank you so much.
We're happy to have her.
All right, now, the whole fine situation, way too – I think they should have been fined, but not that much.
Yeah, that was,
those amounts are gross. Mm-hmm. Now, what I've done for my spouse
– okay.
I've been married 42 years.
Ooh, tell us the secret.
So, everything, baby. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Hey, you hear about 50-50 marriages? We got 100-100 marriages.
Look at that. I love that.
Hey, that's
gotta
a real thing.
Gotta be that thing. Way, man. Gotta be
it's
that
way.
It's
a real thing.
Yeah.
Now, and as far as the card games, I'm going to take it in a different direction.
Uh-oh.
Our family gets together and has intense, multi-hour-long dominoes game. Dominoes now.
Yeah.
It's called the one specific one they do is chicken foot.
Okay.
Chicken foot. All and right. It is bizarre. They'll play till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was on board with you. I was on board with you until you went chicken foot. Now I'm like, what is that?
Now I'm lost.
Is that a dominoes game? Like is that a specific
be.
Like a dominoes yeah.
I just know the regular way to play dominoes.
Yeah, yeah,
that's it. That's
same.
All I know.
Yeah, dominoes, and I think it's
which
trained,
I love by
dominoes
the way.
Train like that. I think that's the normal thing. That's what it's called. The actual normal way to
yeah,
play.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, man, dominoes. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. A good way to waste some time.
Yeah, definitely sit around a table. Used to play that in college a lot too. Before I got into the spades game. All right, let's get one more call in. Let's go out to our buddy Anthony out in Covington. Anthony, good morning. Hope you're having a good one.
Good morning, everybody. Papa Squid, how we doing?
Good, sir.
Number 79 in your program, number one in your heart, Mike Johnson. How we doing, sir?
Hey, I am living the absolute dream, buddy. Thank you for asking.
And absolutely, welcome to the family, Miss Allie. Return of the Mac. Yes, ma'am. Welcome, welcome.
Thank
love
you
it.
So much.
All right, guys. I know we're up against this real quick, okay? In our year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2025, how is the NFL not sending these prospects who entered their name to the draft a little Mint Mobile, Cricket Wireless, burner phone with preloaded numbers in there so they avoid all this stuff? Good Lord Almighty, you yeah. make enough money. You can afford a $15 burner phone and send it out to these kids.
Yeah.
Second of all, my big shout-out this morning, Opie, hit me with that wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink. Phenomenal phone call.
I was about to say, Mike's number one fan in the back seat. She's turning 5 years old today.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday to the number one fan of the Mafia. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Love all those phone calls. We are up against it, though, like you said. We do have to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more. The assistant coaches for the Atlanta Falcons had a chance to visit with the media yesterday, man. And if you listen close enough, they're telling you a lot of things you need to hear. We'll get back to it with the Atlanta Falcons on the other side of the break. It's the morning shift. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Do I wait for the sound to drop? Like, you know, I always like, whenever Dylon plays, like, the slow entries, I'm like, do I wait for it? I can't wait all the way for Sweet Emotion, though. Too far out.
Yeah, this song will take you forever if you do that. But it is supposed to hit.
Yeah.
You do want it to hit, though.
Like, yeah.
Because that's
eventually
the best.
It'll get there. Just keep it rolling down. We'll just talk over it. You know
this
what
is
mean?
The beginning of Dazed and Confused right here. That's what makes it so phenomenal.
Yeah. Someone listening is like, you are going to talk over it. Yeah. And I just did.
Yeah. Like, wait, shut up. This is my part. Oh. Anyhow, man, appreciate you guys hanging out and tuning back in. We are the morning shift. Mike, Allie, Squid Billy. Allie's on day four hanging out with us. We haven't run her off yet, so we're enjoying her time with us. Dylon behind the glass actually playing the Sweet Emotions, which he's bringing out in all of us, the Sweet Emotions, this morning, man. A lot of fun so far. A lot of great wake-up calls. Appreciate you calling in if we didn't get to you. Holler at us tomorrow. We also, Allie, we got a couple of really good tweets today, which I love.
Yeah, we're talking about how Michael Penix has athletic arrogance is the slogan they're using for Michael Penix right now.
T-shirts.
And Brandon Mincy loved it. And he said, got to say, athletic arrogance sounds like a cologne.
Yes.
Let the lead take a big whiff.
Yes. Breathe it in. Breathe it in, NFL. That's definitely something I would put on a t-shirt. Maybe Squid, maybe we can get him in touch with your t-shirt maker and see if we can hook up the Athletic Arrogance and just put it, you know, we can pin it to his profile and see what happens. See how many we can get out there.
I mean, look, if he's willing to pay for them, I mean, they ain't free.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be all right in that department.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, he's only on a rookie. I heard so much about how you found out so much this weekend or last weekend about rookie contracts and how they're staggered due to the Shedeur Sanders drop, where it was like every round he's lost this much money because he didn't go in the first round and second round. And so, but yeah
I think
sure.
He's all right. He evidently was at his post-draft party that he threw at some point in the last couple of days. I don't know which day it was. And he just had a stack of like 100K. So, yeah, he's fine. He's all right. It's a different day and age, man. A lot of these guys got the zeros in their bank account. Maybe that's what led to, you know, some of the conversations surrounding his draft. But nonetheless, man, appreciate everybody weighing in. It's been a lot of fun on the show so far today. Keep those tweets and everything else coming because we have been cackling in here all morning at some of the things at 929 Morning Shift. We will, coming up in, I don't know, 20 minutes, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier. We're going to go over some of the Saints draft and really the draft in general. Mike Dettillier is the best at being able to cover some of those things, but you know him from his he sounds like he's from Louisiana, and because he is, and that's what we love about him. Nonetheless, he is going to talk a little bit about the Saints draft, some ups and some downs, and I think he can give us some insight into who they took at quarterback, which is intriguing nonetheless. Do want to get to more of the Atlanta Falcons sound here, though, Bo, because like we've talked about all morning, and I give you credit for this, and you can touch on this real quick. If you listen close enough, and you always brought this up about Arthur Smith, you've brought this up about Terry Fontenot, you've brought it up about a lot of people within the organization, but if you just put your ear to the ground, you know, just consider it the railroad tracks. You just put your ear to the ground and listen close enough. The little snippets they give you will give you a lot of insight into what they're trying to get accomplished.
Yeah, everybody gets mad at coach speak, but so many of them, you know, there's what Raheem does at times, which is the Dan Quinn thing where you answer a question without ever answering it. And then there's other guys that try to give you a little insight, and when they do, they pretty much tell you everything. But if the problem is we don't hear the verbiage that we want to hear.
Yeah.
So we automatically go, well, he didn't answer the question.
No, it was a non-answer. Well,
he did. You just didn't hear the exact thing he was saying, so you just threw it off like, no, I didn't answer it. But no, these guys will tell you stuff. I mean, it's funny because they're very coded with what they say, but if you understand the code, you'll hear it.
Yeah. And honestly, yesterday part of the fun was, and we kind of laughed earlier because Jeff Ulbrich, we haven't had much of a chance to hear from him at all, and you got all the assistants yesterday, and Jeff Ulbrich obviously was tasked with answering a lot of questions that weren't about football, but you got all the assistants out. One of the guys I thought was awesome in this was Jacquees Smith, the outside linebackers coach. And look, just straight up, one of the first questions he got was, talk to me about the infusion of talent you've got now.
It always helps when you're able to bring in some talented players like we were able to do. I think, you know, just being able to do that type of stuff obviously raises the floor for your team and hopefully, you know, get these guys going.
Raises the floor is something that sticks out to me, Bo, because you and I have talked about athleticism that's needed. You need to be able to tackle an open space. And I think when he talks about raising the floor, it's simply even if you get caught out of position, a lot of times you're athletic enough and you're fast enough, you can make it look right, or you can at least limit the damage.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you have that's the thing that I love Nate Landman. I mean, the landmine, right? But what do you think of him as a guy that has makeup speed?
That's not going to be his strength.
And look, part of the problem with that I felt last year with our linebacker crew, everybody wanted to blame the defensive line for getting gashed. But you know, Mike, you know this. When you're getting downfield on blocks, if guys try to run around them, they'll at times run themselves out of place because not only does it make it at times easier for you to block them, but the running back also sees a lane open up because, where, you know, it creates natural gaps and holes instead of clogging that hole by taking on the blocker and then kind of making you have to figure out how to get around it and then shedding. These guys are running around, and what it was doing was creating gaping holes. I think part of this thing too is these are, especially with Jalen Walker, we know Jalen Walker was you don't get on the field at Georgia by just kind of doing your own thing. You do exactly what they teach you to do, or you don't play. And that's just how it is. And there's, because guess what? Everybody there's a five-star with immense talent. Not a lot of Jalen Walkers, but so these guys know how to do it the right way.
Yeah. Nate Lehman was just one of those guys that just pounded it in there, you know, every other play.
Oh, he did? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
He just pounded it in there?
Yeah, he just did.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Can't even go any further, man. Look, Jacquees Smith yesterday. Y'all got to stop laughing. Allie's over here. Just she's having a time. I got to look at the window. Jacquees Smith also talked about. Look, man. I think when you look at it, you technically drafted two edge guys, but these guys are a little bit different.
I mean, just speaking again to Jalen's versatility, you know, he's been doing a lot of things where he's stacking, being a stack backer, being able to blitz and do coverage and do a lot of different, you know, Swiss Army things where you can move this guy around like a chess piece. Also, James has done it as well, too. But James, where he's going to make his living, what he's done predominantly in college is be on the edge. That's where he's mostly made his money. And then, you know, so you got two pieces that you'll be able to move around like a chess piece on our defense. And you combine it, man, you put it in a pot of gumbo, and, man, hopefully it tastes good. You know,
it's kind of funny. That kind of goes against what Barrett said earlier. Is that, hey, we don't want him doing too many things. We want him to kind of hone in on, you know, doing this because there's other guys that are on the defense, and you don't want to – basically, you don't want to have too many moving parts, which can kind of get people out of position at times because, look, that's a lot of guys that have to be on the same page. Well, the Queens was like, nah, man, I mean, that's a chess piece. I mean, it could be whatever. But that also goes to what I've talked about, that Jalen Walker's the type of guy that does multiple things, including spy the quarterback. And that is something that we did not do. We have been abso-bleeping-lutely brutal when it comes to any kind of quarterback that has any type of movement. I mean, hell, Bryce Young shook us last year,
dude.
Late in the season, you know, Jaden Daniels just absolutely ripped our heart out, stomped on it, and then threw it in our face. I mean, you look at what hell Josh Dobbs became, Steve McNair 2.0, 2 years ago, and don't even bring up Kyler Murray shook off one of the bigger players
Baker
on our defense
like,
2 years
they've
ago.
They've all done it. It seems like everybody.
So, everybody. It becomes a mobile running quarterback when they play our defense.
Yeah.
And these are two guys that hunt down anybody with the ball in their hands. They have elite closing speed, especially Jalen Walker.
Yeah. I think there's any doubt about it. And to me, what the difference was between what Barrett Roode said and Jacquees Smith is I think Barrett Roode was talking about positionally. Like, that's what I took away from him. He's like, positionally, we don't want to ask him to play multiple positions. And I think when you hear Jacquees Smith and he's talking about, you know, you stirred into a pot of gumbo, to me, he's like, they're going to be, you know, edge rushing, but speed rush. You'll run stunt games. You'll stand up. You put your hand in the dirt. You'll do a number of different things, and you'll be able to work with different defensive linemen. You know, a TE stunt from a guy like, I don't know, Jalen Walker and Zach Harrison or something like that. So there's a lot of different options there. But I'm with you. I think that when you listen to both of them, I think it's so easy for us to look at it and look at these rookies and say, man, the options are endless. But you don't want to overload them. You don't want to overload everybody else. And I think that's something we're going to have to keep at the forefront of our thought process, especially just early in the season, man.
Yeah, but Mike, I don't think there's any doubt. Do you have any doubt in your mind that if when we play Jaden Daniels, I think I'm pretty positive they're on the schedule this year, that's what you're going to be doing? You're going to have Jalen Walker spine? Or when we play, I mean, you know, even go as far as as Kyler Murray this year. You don't think that's going to be a thing where Jalen Walker is going to have in certain situations a spiral? I mean, you go look at it. JJ McCarthy maybe even JJ McCarthy would be a guy. You know what? Get to spy a little bit. Josh Allen, you play at home this year.
Dude.
These are guys that know how to run with the football in their hands. You can't tell me that you don't think Jalen Walker might be used in those situations. I think that's kind of what Jacquees was mentioning with Jack of all trades, because to me that's still telling the guy to go get the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I am curious to see if you do have a spy, and let's say Jalen Walker obviously has been used in the edge. I think Divine Diablo fills that role as well. He's a 4-4 guy. They talked about his athleticism. We played the cut earlier. He's a former safety from college. He's so rangy. But he's also got a level of physicality. So if he's on the field, I think that's a role that he could kind of fill the void as well, and you know, maybe not put it on one person. So I don't know, man. It's going to be fun. We're 2 weeks away. Reminder: 2 weeks away from the NFL schedule release. Big, big day. 2 weeks away from the NFL schedule release. That's going to be a lot of fun to cover. See who's coming, see who's going, and when. So we'll cover that from top to bottom. Mike Dettillier coming up on the other side. I got so many questions for him as far as the Saints draft. What was good? What was bad? What's going on at the quarterback position? He's the best, man. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Ain't waiting for this one to drop, Dylon. This is Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Fun show so far. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, and thank you so much to Mike Dettillier, who is now on the phone. Mike, look, let's start right here, Mike, because I got to give you credit. You joined us 2 weeks ago, and you just straight up, we were talking about quarterbacks and possibilities right there at the Saints draft slot, and you shook your head and you shook your finger to us and said, they're drafting an offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks, who is somebody that the Falcons scouted out, ends up with the New Orleans Saints. Your thoughts on that pick and what kind of value you got there with Kelvin Banks inside the top 10?
Yeah, and just listening to the words of Kellen Moore and even Mickey Loomis, general manager, they wanted to build from the inside out and trying to build the offensive line first. And I think about, you know, Kellen with his most success, you know, it was with the Cowboys back then. Their offensive line was really good. And then last year with the Eagles, they have the best offensive line in pro football today. So it didn't come as a surprise to me that it would be Kelvin Banks. And Kelvin, you know, he has started at left tackle since his sophomore year of high school. He's missed one game, and that was as a sophomore. And so I got a chance to get Archie Manning on Sports Talk with me, and he made the comment that Little Arch told him, I think he told me it was late October of last year. He says, Kelvin Banks Jr. is the best football player on this Texas team.
Wow.
And the best leader we have. That tells you a lot, you know, if Archie is going to say that. So I thought he was the guy that they had an opportunity. He could potentially be there. And really, I thought it would either come down to him or Jalen Walker, the linebacker from University of Georgia. Both of them were still available, and they ended up with Banks.
Well, we are talking with a college football and NFL draft analyst and co-host on Sports Radio WWL in Louisiana, Mike Dettillier. And, Mike, what do you think it was that the Saints liked about Tyler Shuck's game?
I think that they felt his maturity, his focus. Now, he can spin it now. He came to Manning Passing Academy. I live about 15 minutes away from Nichols State where they have it. And I joked with him when we had him on. I saw him twice. He was at Texas Tech, and then he was at Louisville. I didn't catch him at Oregon when he was there, but I caught him two other times. And, you know, he's a big guy. He's got a really strong arm. He's accurate. He's had some bad luck with bone breaks, collarbone, and broken femur. But we saw last year, he has a total control of the game, very focused, and, again, a very mature young man. And I think Kellen Moore felt there's a strong chance he's going to have to play this year. It's not one of these redshirt years. He's going to have to play. So with Tyler Shuck, I think you got somebody. He's 25, going to be 26 in September. My thing with the Saints is if you've got your left tackle and your quarterback for the next 10 years, you hit a home run in this draft. Now, I say if, but Tyler Shuck's a guy I knew they liked quite a bit.
Well, you know, Mike, I think the thing for me is everybody had Carolina and the Saints going defense and in that first round. And you mentioned that it was between Jalen Walker and Kelvin Banks Jr. What was the deciding? Why did they go against Jalen Walker? What went against Jalen Walker for the Saints not picking him over Banks? I understand all of the great things you said about Banks, but the other thing you can get is moving forward with the edge rusher. Cameron Jordan's getting a little bit older. I mean, why do you think they didn't pick Jalen Walker?
It's a good question because Deuce McAllister and I, we both thought it would be Jalen. Because actually, I will be honest with you, I thought he was going to Carolina. Every indication and everything I had heard was that Walker was going to Carolina. Made a lot of sense. Their general manager is Dan Morgan, a former linebacker. And just his versatility, because of the fact he's a two-down linebacker, and then on third down, you can have him rush your quarterback. I think for the Saints, it kind of goes back to the Greeks settled this years ago. If I got a chance to pick a really talented big man or a really talented smaller guy, I go with the big man. And I think they came down to the fact that I think they wanted to rebuild in the trenches, rebuild up front along their offensive line, and nothing against Walker because I know coaches that were at Georgia and at Georgia and have worked with Jalen. I've never heard one negative thing about Walker, not a one.
Yeah.
But I think it just came down to the fact that they wanted to try to rebuild their offensive line, which they've tried to do. They just haven't picked the right persons to rebuild because they've used draft choice after draft choice on offensive linemen. Still, it's a question mark on this football team. And I think Moore felt strongly that after what he saw in Philly, that he wanted that type of setup here in New Orleans. So they went with the bigger man and Kelvin Banks over Jalen Walker. But you couldn't have went wrong either way, yeah. Believe me.
Hanging out with our good buddy, NFL draft analyst and co-host from WWL Louisiana, Mike Dettillier. And Mike, there was, you know, that situation where we thought you guys would take Jalen Walker. He didn't. He slides down all the way to 15 and the Falcons select him. There's another guy that I think that these two teams possibly could have been competing for, and it's back in the end of the third round, and that's Jonas Sanker. Jonas Sanker, a guy you guys drafted him 93 overall. The Falcons ended up taking Xavier Watts three picks later, the safety out of Notre Dame. But Jonas Sanker's a guy that came on a top 30 visit to Atlanta. We talked about him just a few weeks back about coming to Atlanta and coming on that top 30 visit. What have you heard about Jonas Sanker? I think we're still excited about Xavier Watts and what he brings to the table, but there's no doubt in my mind the Falcons had a lot of love for Jonas Sanker.
Jonas, and having scouted him, I just see a real intelligent football player. Come on, he could have went to Ivy League schools and his brother's at Princeton. Okay, you're not getting into there with an expired driver's license. You've got to be a smart guy. It's his ability to process information. He was the leader on that team at Virginia defensively, made all the calls, and always look for a chirper in the secondary. Somebody that can, he knows what to do, but he's telling everybody else what to do. That Xavier Watts did at Notre Dame and Jonas did at Virginia. His aggressiveness, last 2 years, he's had like 200 tackles at Virginia. So they used him a lot up front, almost like an extra linebacker. Now, he's going to need some work in the coverage part of the game. He's a little bit of a guesser as far as taking some angles to the football. I always think you can get better doing that. But they put a lot on Jonas Sanker's plate. The same thing with Watts. Notre Dame put a lot on the plate of Xavier Watts. When you're back there and you're sort of controlling things in the secondary, but what I see with Jonas, instantly he helps you on special teams. And secondly, as he kind of progresses into the NFL, you see a guy in Brandon Staley's defense that's going to be given a lot of responsibilities to not only match up in the coverage part of the game, but to stop the run. The Saints been El Succo for 2 years stopping the run. Last year, they gave up almost 5 yards a pop running the football. And that was something right off the bat with Kellen Moore. He talked to us about that, you know, if we don't stop the run, we in trouble because teams are not going to stop that. they're not going to stop running the football if you're giving up 5 yards a rush. So Sanker is a highly intelligent young man, and I think he'll certainly help out, one, right off the bat on special teams, and secondly, I think in time have a shot to be a starter at safety. And Tyrann Mathieu is not getting any younger. Man, Tyrann, God bless him. He was a great player, but Father Time presses everybody's button.
Mike Dettillier joining us here on the Morning Shift. Now, Mike, a few years back when you guys traded up for Marcus Davenport, us Falcons fans and people that work around the team were kind of laughing because we didn't really understand it. And I know that you would never laugh. You're a true professional. I know that, and I love having you on. But what did you think when you saw the Falcons trading what many think was a lot to get back in the first round to get James Paris? Or do you just love James Paris? You think you're high on him?
It was similar to the way I felt about Davenport. That's a lot to give up. And I watched James Paris at Tennessee. He's a first-round pick player. Just watching him play out on the field, he's a first-round pick guy. Now, I also know the other part. And having talked to players and coaches at Tennessee, you know, he sort of dances to the beat of his own drum. And he's got a different personality. And I knew he wasn't for everybody. I had a couple friends of mine in the league tell me that they sort of dropped him. They did not feel as though he was the right fit for them. And I'm always about, you got to love football and you got to come focused. And at times on the field, James Pierce is that. But at other times off the field and his interaction with coaches and teammates, he don't get an A in that. But put him on the field, he can flat out play. So it's pushing the right buttons, and hopefully for Atlanta is some maturity with James, understanding, okay, you're not on scholarship anymore. You're professional. You're going to have to act like one all the time. But, you know, it was a huge gamble, and it reminded me a lot of when Sean Payton sort of fell in love with Marcus Davenport, who was a little bit of a project, a little bit sort of different type players when they both got drafted. James Pierce Jr. is a much more refined player for the NFL than Marcus Davenport was when he came in. Now, when Marcus wasn't hurt, he was a man out there on that football field. You didn't want to mess with him. But he's had all kind of difficulties staying healthy at the NFL level. And similar to Pierce, you had to be able to press the right buttons to get the very most out of him. When he was motivated and ready, he was something else. But that wasn't always the case. That's why a guy who has barely hit the field for the last 2 years still gets another contract to play for Detroit and Dan Campbell. You wouldn't think that he's Campbell's type of guy, but yet Dan sees the talent in him. And it's the same way with Atlanta. It don't take you long to figure out James Pierce Jr. can play. It's stuff away from the game and away from the field itself that sort of bothers you when you hear it constantly from people that have interacted or been around him at University of Tennessee.
Mike Dettillier joining us, man. Mike, we always appreciate your time, brother. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks a lot. Y'all take care.
Yeah. Mike Dettillier is the best, man. He's always got the best information known about not only all the NFL draft picks, but obviously the Saints as well.
Yeah, I love Mike Dettillier. And I just love hearing him talk, too. He and Bobby Hebert remind me so much of each other. Mike just has a better way of talking in sound bites than Bobby, who gets run-on sentences. Real quick, we didn't get to do a Life of Squid today, but I want to thank my friends at Baron Burton's W Sauce and New Realm Brewing, the Allen Lager, the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics.
This hour's been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Steakhouse is next. Make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.